And joining us now from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, he covers the Browns, Scott Petrick. Scott, how you doing?
I'm good, Vic. How are you?
All right. Well, let's talk about a lot of things that have gone on since you were last on this show, this coaching staff being assembled. And in the big picture is it's a pretty diverse group of coaches from the standpoint of their experience and background, you know, some that are former players, some with a lot of college experience, less pro experience, and some with a lot of pro experience, starting with North Turner with 27 years.
Yeah, you know, I like how Chud wound up putting his staff together. And, you know, when we talked to CEO Joe Banner, he stressed that it was important that Chud came with the plan and these are the guys I want to hire. And that was one of the reasons they hired Chud. You know, I love the North Turner hire. They work together a couple times. They're switching roles a little bit. You know, now Chud's going to be the guy, the head coach, and Norv the coordinator. But I love that hire. I mean, people rave about North Turner as a play caller, his system. You know, and that's important for a first-time head coach, is to surround yourself with guys who've been there, done that, and not only know what they're doing in their jobs, but can give you a little guidance and advice when Chud's looking for, you know, how do I handle this, how do I handle that. North Turner's right down the hall and knows exactly what he's going through because he's been a head coach three times.
And as you look at the tangible impact on this team, and I know a lot could change with regard to the quarterback position, but as we know it right now with Brandon Whedon, he was really not the best fit. In fact, some would argue a terrible fit in what was the previous scheme. So under the Turner offense, where it is more of a drop back, it's taking advantage of that big arm, it's throwing those deep passes, those sideline routes and so forth that he has the ability to throw. But in terms of getting the max out of him, and Turner will be the quarterback coach as well, I mean, don't you just sense that if it is Whedon, or if Whedon's part of this in any way, even as a backup, he benefits greatly by having North Turner?
Oh, I sure do. I think it's a huge benefit for Whedon. And it's one of the reasons I'd like to see Whedon get a second year as a starter, because I think this offense does suit him. He's got a big arm, and the thing you love about Brandon Whedon is the arm, is the ability to throw the deep outs, throw the deep posts, stretch the field. We saw a little bit of that last year, not enough. And I want to see how Whedon would do with that offense nonstop, because I think that's when he would shine. You know, we just saw a quarterback, Joe Flacco, win the Super Bowl, taking a lot of shots downfield.
Right.
And I kind of think that's the ceiling for Brandon Whedon. He reminds me a little bit of Joe Flacco, and I'd like to see the Browns give him at least one more year and say, you know what, in this offense suited to him, that let's see what he can do. You know, in North Turner, we talk so much about play callers, and, you know, sometimes it's overrated, but having that guy that calls the right plays at the right time in the right system really can make a difference from one year to the next with an offense.
Sure, and that is the thing I look to, too, because I just go back watching Turner's career from when he was offensive coordinator in Dallas and what he did with Troy Aikman, what he did with Michael Irvin and Alvin Harper, all those players, Jay Novacek. I mean, you had an offense that was so explosive and dynamic, and, of course, Emmitt Smith produced all his yards, so it's not as if he's all about passing and doesn't think about the balance of the running game. So you know Trent Richardson's going to get his share of carries and be a focal point as well. But I guess that's the thing I'm excited about, is I've seen what this guy can do, and I think a lot of us can translate that. And even though we could say, where do the Browns need to enhance themselves offensively, get another receiver, maybe get another tight end to make it better, but you can just make it better with the presence of this coach.
No, that's exactly right. Now, you know, and I think all systems can work in this league if you get the right talent and the right, you know, I guess the right talent. You put enough talent on any team, the West Coast to work or whatever. But I just, going into a season, like the philosophy of, we're going to have a power running attack with Trent Richardson, who I think will excel in that, and we're going to stretch the field. And I think that makes the defense respect you deep. It stretches things out for the running back. It creates holes. And I think that's the best way to attack defenses philosophically. Mm. So I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah, and there's an argument to be made for the Browns needing to be less predictable, needing to be more aggressive, needing to treat situations with a greater sense of urgency. I don't know that we always felt that looking at this team in 2012. And I'm not saying that it was all the fault of coaching or that it wasn't the right thing being done there. But as I look back on it and look at what you can evolve to, there's an argument to be made that you can implement more of that, again, less predictability and more aggressiveness.
Sure, and, you know, Norv's been successful everywhere he's been offensively. calling the plays, running the show. And I just think you see guys have a chance to be more productive. Josh Gordon, not only, I mean, he'll be his second year, so you expect him to grow, but he is your typical vertical stretch guy who can get down the field. And if you have a quarterback who can throw the ball, the play caller calling those plays, you would think it gives him more of a chance to have even more explosive plays than he did last year.
Right.
And Norv's been around so long that he knows how to, you know, he just knows how to answer the defense's challenges. You know, the defense gives him something. He's seen everything. And all you have to do in this league, if you hit three or four of those key moments, you score touchdowns, and that's how you win ball games. And
sure,
I don't know if we saw enough of those mismatches or perfect play calls last season.
Yeah. That's such a great point. Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram covers the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Scott, there's been a lot of discussion, of course, about the defense, yep, and how it's going to adapt to a philosophy that Ray Horton brings as the new defensive coordinator, that is a 3-4, that is the Pittsburgh Steelers style of defense, and that essentially is something that this team hasn't had in place for at least a couple of years. You got to go back to 2010 when they were last the 3-4 team, but these last 2 years it was Dick Geron's 4-3. They've been drafting and acquiring players to kind of fit that. How do you see this transition going?
Yeah, I got to admit, I was a little scared when you first hear that that's going to be the reality. We're going from a 4-3 to 3-4. Tom Hecker spent so much time building up that defensive line to where I thought it was the strength of the team that you go, man, why would you take a step back? But I understand, you know, Chud likes the fact that the 3-4 creates a lot of havoc for the offense. And that's why Eric Mangini liked it when he was here. He would talk about you're able to balance it as a defensive front. The offense can't exactly tell what you're going to do. And then Ray Horton's got all the experience running the 3-4, you know, the new defensive coordinator. So I've come around. I still have questions. Can Jabal Sheard stand up as an outside linebacker, or will he strictly be a situational pass rusher? How do you use Taylor and Reuben? And DeQuell Jackson, you got to find a way to not take away his strength, which is running side to side, and free him up and don't have the guards on him all the time, which we saw back in the day when he was in the 3-4 originally. So those are my questions. But, you know, you watch the Super Bowl, and both those teams played 3-4, and they had two big guys on that front. On the front, you had Nada and Kamuata with the Ravens,
right?
And Justin Smith was one of the guys for the Niners. So I think you can do some stuff. Maybe Reuben in the middle, and then you put Phil Taylor at an end, and then all of a sudden you have some two giant guys who are both dynamic, and you might be able to see some fun stuff out of that 3-4.
Yeah, I think this is where the key to this transition lies, is this D-line. I know there's the focus is a lot on linebackers, right, and who's going to play those four linebacker positions, yeah, knowing that two of them are outside linebackers, effectively defensive ends off, you know, with their standing up, right, off the line. And maybe Jabal Sheard, and we'll have to presume Jabal Sheard is one of those guys, and we'll see how he makes that transition. And I think the other one is yet to be determined. But that's where the bulk of the discussion is yet, I think, the success of whoever is at linebacker, the success of this defense as a whole, is going to rest with Phil Taylor, Ataba Reuben, Billy Winn, John Hughes down the line, right? You know, yeah. Kitchen. I mean, all those guys that are really who were really the strength of what the previous defense was.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and it'll be interesting to see how you take Reuben and Taylor, who were so successful next to each other at those 4-3 tackles. And you're going to spread him out a little bit. You're going to ask him to take on more responsibility, eat up more blocking. But, you know, this 3-4 isn't the same one that Romeo ran when he was here and
right,
Mangini ran. It's a little more active. It's more aggressive. And I think it's more similar to the Pittsburgh and the Ravens, where you see Haloti Ngata, who's, you know, they list him as a D-tackle, but he doesn't play right on the nose. And he still has a huge impact and gets penetration, gets pressure on the quarterback. And I think Reuben and Taylor both have those skills that you might be able to see them still be impactful even in a 3-4. Where in the old days you had a nose tackle that stood there and occupied blocks, and you had a guy like Robert Smith at end who wasn't much of a pass rusher. He was kind of a steady guy, and I think you'll have a different kind of feel from this 3-4.
And as much as we're focused on this team getting a cornerback and ultimately getting someone who replaces Sheldon Brown, who we know up there in years, and you've got Joe Hayden, but really, do you have that other answer? And, you know, you could say, well, Buster Skrine is making some strides, but I don't think it's him necessarily. We'll see who that comes out to be. But I think the future other starter cornerback or another corner is destined to be added to this team. But that said, the safety is so important to this defense. And I'm thinking, again, Troy Polamalu in Pittsburgh. You think Ed Reed in Baltimore. And you just think that position. And as much as we're going to focus on corner, I think it's the spot that has to be addressed. And if T.J. Ward is that guy, great. But I also think there's an opportunity for Tashawn Gibson to show what he can do. Yep. We were both very impressed with his work, right, as a rookie in 2012. And maybe someone else at that position to be brought in.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And I think if you look at the team now, you need a corner right now. If you're going to say, okay, we're going to line up and play tomorrow, you need a second starting corner where there's options at safety. You know, Usama Young has played in the league. Tashawn Gibson, that coaching staff that left was really high on him. And he showed some stuff. He had some range in the back end, which is what you see out of guys like Polamalu and Ed Reed. They have range, and that's huge as a free safety. So I think there's options, but I would love to see an upgrade there. If you pair a guy with T.J. Ward and let T.J. play closer to the line of scrimmage, and he got better guard and tight ends, but he's not a half-the-field safety, and you put that guy back there with the skill set, you know, nobody's Ed Reed, but with that ability to go sideline to sideline and make quarterbacks think twice, you add a dimension to the defense it didn't have last year.
And that's exactly what you're describing. It is the guy who makes the quarterback think about what he's up to, whether he's coming on a blitz or what kind of coverage is he providing that just causes that hesitation and, again, allows that pass rush to get to him.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And the Browns haven't had one of those safeties. You know, I can't think of one that comes to my mind. And you look at all the good teams, even the Niners have Deshaun Goldson, and I think he's a big-time safety. He's going to be a free agent, so, you know, I think we'll hear his name out there. But you need those guys. You need playmakers, and you need a second one in that secondary.
Scott, great stuff. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks, Vic.
He is Scott Petrick. He covers the Browns for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.